skip our normal special right now in Scripture reading and get right into the message and finish on time. So let's have you, if you brought your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. While you're turning, the judges have gotten their heads together, and we do have a couple of gift cards over to Cracker Barrel this morning. The second place goes to Reed and Emily Thacker, second place with the piano and all. So Reed, while you're walking, come on up and congratulations. Give them a hand this morning. Good job, Reed. Congratulations to you, bud. That was good. And first place, creativity, ingenuity, going to go to the Species, Brent and Charity with their mousetrap. So come on, Brent. Come on down here and get your gift card this morning. Take that from me, Luke, if you would. And that was great. I tell you what, they were all very well done. And congratulations, and enjoy a little meal on us. And thank you, church, for participating in all of this morning. You know, a pastor can only come up with ideas and create with the staff just some fun things once in a while, but it never flies unless people participate. So thank you for the Baby Day Parade, for the offering for the building fund, and just for your faithfulness. I appreciate it so very much. We're in 1 John chapter 4, and we usually stand, but I'm going to bypass some of what we normally do. Let me read for you, follow along, beginning in verse number 17, where John wrote in his letter here, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us." Now I want to speak this morning very briefly, and for the purpose of Baby Day, on this subject, creating security in an insecure world. Creating security in an insecure world. Let's pray together. Father, we love You, and again, rejoice in Your blessings as we got to see these little precious bundles of life that You gave to families in our church these past 12 months. We rejoice with them. Thank You for every gift of life that You've given to parents down through the years. We pray that You'll help me this morning, Lord, as I open Your book, and may Your Spirit speak to our hearts and help us to learn today, be challenged. Thank You for the Scripture. It is a powerful book, and I pray that You'll speak to us from it this morning in Christ's name, and amen. It's 2015, and I think I can say this, the world is a scary place. You know, uncertainties, unbelievable hostilities published for all the world to see, like we've been privy to again this past week. For what reason or purpose? Possibly to create fear. This attitude of, we're coming for you. And they very well may be. A world teetering on financial collapse. A world careening headlong into an environment that is ripe for an antichrist to take control. It's a scary world. I'm leaving out some things for the sake of time, but I think you'll agree with me. It's a scary world. And yet, couples by the thousands keep birthing little bundles of flesh and blood into this scary world. Little bundles of joy. They keep giving birth to babies. And rightly so. You know, it is the plain command of God for parents, if everything works as normal, to reproduce and give birth to children. And as we saw this morning, you know, in our own church here, seven couples in the last 12 months and gave birth to babies. And again, in some cases, in many of the cases, it was the first child. And in a couple of cases, it was a second or third child. But this crazy, confused world that we live in is not scary enough to prevent parents from having babies. And I say that's good. And with kids growing up in a crazy world that can create a real sense of insecurity. And you know, kids listen. Kids aren't stupid. Kids listen to their dads and moms talk. Kids listen to their pastors when they preach a message maybe about current events. Kids overhear news broadcast as they get a little older. Maybe they pay a little bit more attention. And kids can very easily become insecure in a scary world. And what does insecurity create? Creates fear. Insecurity creates fear. So what can parents do for their children in order to create a sense of security that eliminates fear? What can parents do? Teach a kid how to shoot a gun? I don't think that's a bad thing. But is that going to eliminate fear? Teach them martial arts so that they can defend themselves? I don't think that's a bad thing. And I was thinking about that this week. I'm glad that through our school here, we've been able to offer both of those classes on both of those subjects to our high school students. I think that's a good thing. You know, maybe a little bit more remote would be build a bomb shelter in your basement. You know, that's pretty common in Israel for families to have bomb shelters within their own homes. That's not real common here. Maybe move to a remote place and become a recluse from society. I don't think that's very plausible, even very right according to the Word of God. But, you know, how about this suggestion? How about bringing the kids up in an atmosphere and environment of love? And I'm not talking about love defined by the world standards or world defined by Hollywood. I'm talking about love defined by the standard of God's Word. Because, folks, if we're Bible believers, look at verse number 18, where John wrote, "There is no fear in love." How about that? "And perfect love casteth out fear." And so, parents, you know, you're going to rear children in an insecure world. You want to rear secure children. An atmosphere of biblical love will produce a secure, stable, and settled child. John said, "Perfect love casteth out fear." And the word "perfect," most of the time in the Bible, is not referring to without fault or without error. It's mature. It's complete. It's not a silly, immature, warm and fuzzy tingle. This is a complete, mature love based on the truth of God's Word. And mature, complete, godly, biblically based love, the Bible says, cast out fear. And I believe it's very possible for parents to rear secure children in an insecure world if we rear them in an atmosphere and environment of love. Real Bible love. And I want to talk for just a few minutes this morning, maybe give an exhortation to the parents on this subject of love, trying to rear secure children in an insecure world, and having love and providing an atmosphere and environment of love. Let me say, first of all, parents, love your God. Love your God. I like verse number 19 where John just simply said, "We love Him." Isn't that a great statement? Now, I know it's only part of the statement. We love Him because He first loved us. And that's true with any person. Our love for God is only reciprocal. We wouldn't love God if He didn't first love us. But because He loved us, we can love Him. And parents, that's a good question for you and me this morning. And I've still got a child at home, senior in high school, our last one. Do we love God? Do we love God? Our God. You know, I remind us, it is the first and great commandment. It is the preeminent commandment. It is the one above all others. And if you think about it, if that is the preeminent commandment, if that is the commandment above all others, evidently it is the one by which God will judge us the most critically. And maybe this is my speculation, so I'll say that rather than try to take you to a chapter and verse, but just some reason or logic that if God says, "Okay, child, here is the most important commandment. This one is priority. This one is first. This one has preeminence over all others. And this commandment that has preeminence over all others is simply, love me." And if we succeed at all the other commandments and fail at loving God, will He be pleased? I don't think so. You know, I think we see a representation of our Heavenly Father in the life of a dad in the home. The dad in the home is a representative or representation of God. How do us dads respond to our own children if we're going to be gone for a day and they've got some time at home? Maybe it's summertime, maybe it's spring break, and you know, the weather is changing and there's sticks in the yard and leaves left over and we're going to be gone for the day. And so we draw up a list of things and look, say, "Kids, while you're at home today, I want you to get these things done. Here's about five or six things. But now listen, the very most important thing is the first one. If you don't get any of the others done, I want you to get the first one done," whatever it may be. You come home at the end of a day, and everything, you look around, and You know, number two is done, number three is done, four is done, five is done, six is done, but number one is undone. Are you going to be happy? Are you going to be pleased? Probably not. You're probably going to say something like, you know, hey guys, man, I appreciate number two being finished, and I appreciate number three getting accomplished, and I appreciate the time and effort you put into four, five, and six, but what happened to number one? This is the one I stressed before I left for work this morning. This is the one that needed to get done above all others, and parents and everybody really this morning, above all other commandments. Jesus told us, number one, love God. Love God. Parents, above all else, above each other, above the children, above the world, above vocation, above entertainment, above money, above recreation, above it all, love your God. And it's not a warm and fuzzy feeling. Love is defined by obedience and worship and honor and giving time to think about and talk to God. I don't have time this morning to fully describe it in the short minutes available here, but just let me say this morning, love God. Love God. Complete love, perfect love, mature love, cast out fear. You want to bring your kids up to be secure children in an insecure world? Love God. Love God. Because love casts out fear. Number two, let me say this morning, not only love your God, but love your spouse. Love your spouse. Children who grow up in homes where love between dad and mom is practiced and demonstrated will be very secure and stable. You say, Pastor, what study are you basing that on? I'm not basing it on anybody's study. I don't need to. I've got a book right here. I've got God's Word that tells me there is no fear in love. Complete love, mature love, cast out fear. We don't need a study to verify it. God said it. Love your spouse. You know, the worst thing dad and mom can do for their children is to turn all their attention to the child. To turn all their attention to the children. And obviously kids need their parents. The younger they are, the more they need them. Although really, in retrospect, from having reared five and one still at home, they don't need mom and dad less when they get older. They need mom and dad just as much. Kids demand a lot of time. So mom and dad, you got to make time for each other. Don't neglect each other. Have time for each other. Develop and grow that love and demonstrate that love. And I would encourage dads and mom to demonstrate their love for each other in their homes. Now there is a love that is reserved for privacy. I think public displays of that kind of affection is perverted. But a kiss on the lips, a kiss on the cheek, a loving hug, a squeeze, dad picking mom up and giving her a kiss and twirling her around and mom giggling and dad putting mom on the floor and then giving her a big kiss on the lips and saying I love you in front of the kids is not a poor display. You know what it says to that child? Boy, dad loves mom. Mom loves dad, and things are okay here in our house. You say, Pastor, I just don't think that, you know, you ought to show affection in front of the kids like that. Well, couples show aggression. They argue in front of their kids. They fuss in front of their kids. They battle it out in front of their kids. I go the other direction. And there's a proper way to do it without being wrong. But love each other. Love your spouse. Man, dad, mom, dad, the kids ought to grow up knowing that, you know what, dad loves us, but boy, he really loves mom. And mom's kids ought to grow up knowing that dad, mom loves us, but boy, she really loves dad. Ought never, ever be any question in a child's heart and mind, does my dad love my mom? Does my mom love my dad? It ought to be so much on display that every child has that security. That mom and dad love each other. Dad and mom love each other. Perfect love casteth out fear. How are you going to rear secure children in an insecure world? Love your God. Number two, love your spouse. And number three, love your kids. Love your kids. And I want to say this morning. I don't have time to go into it. But loving your kids is not all about being their friend. Loving your kids means you be their parent. More than kids need a friend, they need parents. They need parents to guide them. And don't have the perverted view of love. Don't have a distorted view of love that everything about love is all positive. No, no, no. Love has equal balance between loving that which is positive and hating or disdaining that which is negative. You ought to have some parameters, some boundaries, some rules, some regulations set in your home. You say, I don't want to fence in my kid too much and make him feel so oppressed. I'm going to tell you something, friend. One of the greatest things you can do is establish clearly defined boundaries in your family, and your children would have all kind of freedom within those boundaries to enjoy life. The worst thing to do is to grow up in a home where there's no boundaries, where there's no rules, where there's no regulations. Talking about a study some years ago printed in a family publication in 1994, which is several years ago now, showed that secure kids came from homes where parents had been significantly more strict in their approach to discipline. By contrast, the parents of insecure kids created, they said that the parents of those insecure kids created the insecurity by their permissiveness. You know why? The kids felt that rules were not enforced because nobody cared enough to enforce them. Nobody cared enough. I want to tell you something. One way you demonstrate to your children that you love them is to care enough to have some boundaries, some parameters, clearly define them, and then inside those boundaries and parameters, your kids can have the time of their life. That's a display of love. Isn't that how God loves us? He gave us a book here. We're free, but we're given liberty in Christ. But liberty is not a license to sin. We talked about that in the book of Galatians, in the book of Romans. God says, oh, here's the boundaries, here's the parameters, here's the rules. And inside the fence, inside the rules, we have all kinds of freedom, all kinds of liberty. But beyond that, we get in trouble. Our God loves us enough to demonstrate to us and show us the boundaries and the parameters to put them in place. And you and I, we love our children by having boundaries and parameters for them that shows them our love. And that's that deals with the negative. And then you can't just leave the positive undone. You know, the things that I talked about between a dad and a mom need to take place between the parents and the children. Kids need to be hugged. Kids need to be kissed properly. Kids need to be touched in the right way, not the wrong way. A touch conveys love when done properly. That's how you show love. And that's not exhaustive this morning. That is not complete in this short time I had to speak to you. But I'm convinced, people, that it is possible to rear secure children in an insecure world. You can't spend 5 days just casually observing the news without realizing that we live in a scary, scary world. It's dangerous. Who knows where this Muslim thing is going to end? Who knows? So it's not going to be in our country. Your head's in the sand. But I am convinced that you can rear secure kids in an insecure world if you love your God, love your spouse, and love your kids. Perfect love casteth out fear. There's no fear in love. There's just something about it that says to that child, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Rearing secure children in an insecure world. Love your God, love your spouse, love your kids. Let's bow our heads in prayer together. Thank you for listening. Now, this morning I didn't have time to get into any talk about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, John said there in his letter that we love Him because He first loved us. And God demonstrated that love for us by sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross and shed His blood for our sins. And that's how we get saved. That's how a person comes to salvation, trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the gospel. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. Jesus loved you enough, friend, to die for you. He was buried for you and He rose again out of that grave for you to pay your sin debt. And if you're not saved, the most important decision you can make this morning is to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for your attention. Let me ask this morning, maybe in the 15 or 18 minutes that I spoke today, the Spirit of God took one little statement, one little point, one little truth, and drove it home to your heart. But love your God, love your spouse, love your kids. Say, Pastor, even though it was a very short message, God did speak to my heart specifically about something that was said. Pray for me. I want to rear secure kids in an insecure world. Would you raise your hand, please, this morning? I see hands going up. God bless you. Thank you. Take your hand down. Anybody else? Pastor, God spoke to my heart this morning, specifically. All right, let me just ask today, is there anybody here that would say, Pastor, I'm not sure of my eternal destiny. I don't know where I'm going when I leave this world. I don't know if I'm going to go to heaven, if I'm going to be separated from God forever in the place the Bible calls hell. I don't know if I'm saved. I have no idea about my eternal destiny. Pray for me. I'm not sure. I came to church this morning, and I don't know why I'm saved. I don't know if I'm saved or not. Would you slip your hand, anybody like that, in the air, and just put it up in the air this morning? Let me pray for you on the bottom floor upstairs, member or visitor. I'm not sure that I'm saved. If you're saved and you came this morning to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, or you haven't been baptized yet and you know you need to be obedient to Christ, then the invitation is open to you as well this morning. My Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your book and all that it teaches us. I'm thankful, Lord, for the home that You allowed me to grow in during my elementary and high school years. Thank You, Lord, for the love that was shown in that home. Help me, God, and my wife to love You, to love each other, and love our kids, especially working with the one we still have at home. And then help all these many couples with little children, young teenage children. God, I pray that You'll help them as they seek to raise secure children in an insecure world. Thank You that perfect love casteth out fear. May we rear our children with Your help in an environment and atmosphere of love is my prayer today. Thank You for these who came where their hearts were spoken to by Your Word. Bless the invitation. I pray in power in Jesus' name. Let's all stand, please. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The ladies are playing a song of invitation. Did the Spirit of God speak to your heart this morning? You raised a hand. Why don't you slip out and come? Take a minute to kneel here at the altar. We don't have long, but we got time for that. We won't rush through it. While we wait this morning, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Rearing secure children in an insecure world.